0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Please gamble responsibly.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What a weekend we have had. Rangers see off Aberdeen for the second time in 4 days, with speculation surrounding Derek McInnes refusing to go away. Ryan Jack was also sent off again, a decision which Rangers have again appealed. Fresh from sweeping Motherwell aside on Saturday, Brendan Rodgers turns his attention to Anderlecht. He's confirmed Moussa Dembele is fit to play, but he wouldn't think twice about throwing in hat-trick hero Odson Edouard. We'll also look back on all the weekend's action, including an explosive game at Tynecastle. Your usual Monday night duo of Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are with me. Are we both well?
Well, I've wrestled Derek to the ground to get you skipped off him, but there's no chance of a red card.
Derek has a script. No way.
I don't know what, couldn't spell it.
But it's been an action packed, incident packed weekend of football, Hugh Keevans.
You couldn't and, make us up.
No.
2 hours to pick our way through it all.
The Tynecastle stuff was just laughable, so it was. Unbelievable stuff.
It's crazy. Actually gone from serious, I mean, Ryan Jack's a serious matter, to comedy. Comedy provided by Austin McPhee. And I think the innocent party and that was Darian McKinnon of Hamilton. But we can pick the bones out of all of it over the next 2 hours.
Yeah, plenty to get through. Why not get in touch with us and join in? 01419511025 on the phones, and of course on Twitter at ClydeSSB. Let's start with yesterday's game, Derek Johnson. A second win for Rangers over Aberdeen in the space of a number of days. One which puts Rangers into second place, and one which I suppose throws up more questions than answers surrounding Derek McInnes. But let's go for the football side of things first. What did you make of it?
Well, it's amazing because it's only, what, 7-8 days ago. And remember, Hugh just standing where he is just now saying, you know, with Aberdeen twice and Hibs away and Celtic away, Rangers can be in that bottom half of the league if they don't watch out. You know, and there you go, 2 games later, 2 wins against Aberdeen and they're sitting second top. That's how easy things can change in Scottish football. I thought it was a good professional performance from Rangers. I think they got it spot on. I think a lot of people might have been gutted that Alves missed out. I mean, they kept that close to their themselves that he was injured. But I tell you what, David Bates came in, I thought he did a fantastic job for his first game of the season. You know, Aberdeen huffed and puffed, I thought, an awful lot. The chance rate on half-time to equalise, they're unlucky when Considine's header hits the bar. But Rangers had a few great chances as well, and Lewis kept him in the game. I don't think you can deny that Rangers, you know, deserved to win the game. But the big talking point, as usual, was the sending off. It was, you know, the bottom line is it was a red card. I think the challenge was fine. He got the ball. It's the follow through. It's the aggression in the follow through that's done it, that's got him sent off. I mean, if you look at it again, I watched it again this afternoon in slow motion. His head's in the air, Jack. He's not looking down at anybody's ankle or foot. He's looking up, and when he hits the ball, he follows through. And it's a bad one because that is a leg breaker easily. I think very, very fortunate. I mean, he had to go off about 5 or 6 minutes later, you know, simply because it might have been ligaments or whatever he's done, but it's a stupid one. It's one he didn't have to do again and put Rangers under pressure. But, you know, with 10 men, they still managed to score that second goal, you know, before Aberdeen got the goal back. So a terrific week for Rangers. They've taken an awful lot of stick, and rightly so at times this season. But I think they've had a great week and they deserve all the praise for it.
And if you looked at the sides yesterday, Gordon, you would say that Rangers would be the team in the ascendancy and Aberdeen are a team who have one or two problems to solve. However, if you did it by the numbers, Rangers have won 5 of their last 6 visits to Pittodrie. Derek McInnes has lost 7 games in the bounce to Brendan Rodgers. And Derek McInnes has been outthought, outmanoeuvred by Rangers under-20s coach twice in the space of 5 days. So if you looked at it strictly by the numbers, you would wonder if there was to be an approach. But I do believe at the end of the day there will be. And with regard to Ryan Jack, sometimes there are open and shut cases. Manchester United, who will have the biggest game in Britain next weekend when they play Manchester City at Old Trafford, have decided not to appeal the red card shown to Paul Pogba against Arsenal at the weekend. I would guess they've done that because they've had a look and thought, well, what's the point in appealing?
So you don't think Rangers have any chance of winning this appeal?
Personally, No.
Give us your opinion on the phone, 01419511025. So Rangers, as we told you at the top of the show, have appealed that red card this afternoon. Now, I'm sure you've all seen the incident. Jack won the ball, he then catches Stevie May with his studs. It led to a fourth red card of the season for the midfielder. We already know two of those have been successfully appealed, but if this one fails on Thursday, then it will be a three-match ban. Ross County, Hibs and St Johnstone are the games which Jack would miss. Interim boss Graham Murty doesn't want that incident to be the main talking point of the victory though.
I don't actually want to talk about it. I'm not trying to be boring. I'd rather actually talk about the positives for the team and the character that they showed. And stand here and shout about the referee. He made a decision. We have to deal with the consequences of that. And I thought to a man, the players dealt with that really well. Refocused and dug in and showed not a little bit of character to see that game out. We rode our luck a little bit at times, but I thought anything less than a win, I thought would have been very harsh on them. I feel for him. I know he's gutted in there. We'll look at it again and we'll decide what we want to do as a football club. But I thought he handled the occasion up until that point remarkably well. He showed a degree of composure I'm not sure I would have been capable of in his shoes. And I'm very disappointed for him. But I don't want to tarnish the rest of the guys' efforts by focusing too much on that, because I think that would be a travesty of a massive degree, because they've put so much into that. These guys have been challenged, they've been questioned about their character, and they stood up to a massive, massive challenge today really well.
Now, Hugh and Derek both think it was a red card. We don't tend to get a show where 2 hours passes with nice cheery consensus and agreement on here. So I'm not sure what the phone lines are going to hold in store. Let's speak to Jim in Rutherglen first and foremost. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good.
Hi, Jim.
Hi there. Just to talk about the Rangers and the manager situation. Mm-hmm. Over the last couple of games, that's actually probably the best I've saw Rangers in a long, long time. And even with the game yesterday, Murty actually really had to manage that game. We had major injuries before the game, major injuries through it, sending off, and he managed it perfectly. And the way Willie Miller was really critical yesterday of and a few others about the way we've conducted our business regarding Derek McInnes, I don't think it's ever been Derek McInnes. And I think, why would we come out and make a statement saying, listen, just so you know, it's no your guy, you can crack on as business as normal. It's all been media fueled. I actually think the longer it's grown, I think Murty is more and more going to be in line to take it. What do you think, guys?
Graham Murty deserves immense credit for the two games against Aberdeen. I've just said he outmaneuvered Derek McInnes twice in the space of 5 days. The aggregate score was 5-1 for Rangers. However, Jim, the two games which came before Aberdeen, lost to Hamilton Accies at Ibrox for the first time in 90 years and lost to Dundee, who were then bottom of the league. So, as Derek said, the unpredictability of football is an amazing thing. And I would, you know, if Rangers announced tomorrow that Graham Murty is the new manager, good luck to the man. He seems a thoroughly decent and good operator. But last four games, 50% excellent and 50% very poor.
Can I go back in there, Hugh?
Yeah.
I think that's been six games. 1-4, lost two. Two games against Aberdeen and one away to Hearts. The Hamilton game, we missed a few chances and then we kind of blew it, fair enough, maybe a freak result. Dundee, appalling, absolutely appalling on every level. The response has been unbelievable, though. I mean, that's the two games that we've played since there. I thought there's togetherness there, battling mixed in with really good football. It's like a proper Rangers side, and that's the first I can say that for a long, long time.
But yeah, you've got to say to yourself, Jim, where has it been then? Where has that been?
Well, there's a team in there, Derek, you know what I mean? When you've seen it, there's a team.
That's why the players have got to get a right good. I mean, I don't know what Graham Murty said to them before the game, but you're right. I think the last two games has been a different Rangers side. There's been a bit of passion. We've had Rangers fans on here, and I've said it myself, when they go a goal behind, they don't have the heart to get back. There's nobody grabbing the players and, come on, let's get going here. There's no leadership. There's nothing. And I think in the last two games, for some strange reason, they're all actually getting what it takes to play for Rangers, and they're starting to show that wee bit of, you know, a wee bit of heart in games and a wee bit of skill, and they're winning matches, which is important. And eventually, I'm going to say it's going to come out anyway. But that's them going for three in a row now again. How many times have we said that and they let themselves down, you know?
But I mean, I think Jim has a fair point there, that there is a team in there trying to come out. Yeah. I think Bates was outstanding in a rare appearance. McCrory, outstanding. Jack, up until he lost his composure, outstanding. There is the kernel of a good idea in there. And there are others to come back, like Doran's, who will add quality to the side. There's a Scottish core to it all, which I'm sure everyone appreciates. And I think that Rangers are on the ascendancy. I'm not sure where Aberdeen go from here, because the last 5 days have been a worrying experience for them.
Thanks to Jim and Rutherglen for that call. It was a mixed bag, I suppose you would have to say, for Josh Windass. I think that was his fourth goal in his last six games, so he knows his way to goal at the moment, Hugh. But also a blatant dive which saw the yellow card. I don't think anyone would really argue with that.
No. I thought thereafter, you know, when Ryan Jack went off, I thought Windass on the yellow card, unless he's very careful and keeps himself right, Rangers could be down to nine men here. But he did manage it, to his credit, and he did score a very good goal. As I say, Rangers are now second, and if Celtic have a competitor, Rangers are the Aberdeen of the last two seasons. I think they're the one who will be remaining closest to Celtic.
I mean, there's a player in there as well in Windass. I said when he first joined the club last season, he looked the part. You know, his pace, playing wide, he was coming inside, running at people. You think the first game of the season against Motherwell at Fir Park, when he ran riot for 45 minutes, you know, sprinting at players, he's hit the post, he's hit one just narrowly by, looked a real player, and then went off the boil. All of a sudden, you're playing him in a different position. This is Graham Murty, just playing him up there, sometimes just playing off, not playing wide at all. And his goal yesterday was terrific, because Rangers down to the 10 men, there's four men around him, he sprinted away in that box, it's a wonderful ball in, but he still has to finish it, and it's probably the hardest chance he had on the day, and he stuck it away, so there is a player in there.
So much talk about diving and going down too easy and contact and all the rest of it, Derek. So Josh Windass was punished for his. I think everyone saw it for what it was. What's the dynamic like as a player there, do you think? Because I'm not sure it was quite as, you know, not maybe not the same in your day, but the booking's handed out, that's the punishment. Do you think Graham Murty still has a word afterwards and says, listen, don't do that again, sort of thing? Or do you take the punishment with the yellow?
I've never heard that, a manager coming in and saying that. Why did you dive there? I don't think I've ever heard a Jock Wallace or anybody like that. I don't think it happened as much then, because there wasn't as many cameras at football, and there's no way you were going to pick it up. But I think he realised it himself. I mean, he's expecting the goalkeeper to touch him, and that's why he's gone down. And the goalkeeper's done really well, you know, to get the foot out the road and let him go by him. So for the goalkeeper, well done to him. But yes, it's a dive, and it's a yellow card every day of the week.
Graham's in Easterhouse. Hi, Graham.
What are you, how are you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's your point tonight?
It's just a bit of clamour for us. Derek, I was on a couple of weeks ago saying I don't think McInnes should get anywhere near that. Mm-hmm. It's just been proved it. Then an under-20s coach just gave them a lesson in two games. It's just, I don't know who they should get, but definitely know him.
Well, Hugh, we did always say that this doubleheader, whatever way it went, was always going to cause a real knock-on effect with the managerial situation, because had Derek McInnes swept Rangers aside twice, and perhaps the Rangers fans had been irked in some way by that, it might have taken a bit longer for him to win his way into their hearts. But now it's gone the other way.
Let's be honest, it's awkward. Graham Murty has won 5-1 in aggregate against Derek McInnes, and the performances may have come out of the blue where Rangers were concerned, following on from the two awful performances against Hamilton and Dundee, but performances they were. And it's deprived Aberdeen of 6 points. It's moved Rangers into second top place. And it's awkward. But I still believe that Rangers will entrust the team to Derek McInnes in the fullness of time.
I feel sorry for Graham Murty, because when he was going through there, the first two games against Hearts and against Partick Thistle, was it when they won the games, you know, everybody's saying, oh, this man's doing great. Yeah, get him in. And then he loses two games. You said against Dundee and against Hamilton, and all of a sudden, no, he's not good enough. And there he is, he said, two fantastic results against Aberdeen. Yeah, well, Graham Murty, give him a chance. You know, you've got to make up your mind.
Yeah.
You can't just change, you know, over a couple of games. Graham knows himself. He says, the quicker they can get somebody in, the quicker I can get back to my real job, which is the under-20s. So I think he's in touch, obviously, with the hierarchy at Rangers every day. They're telling him what's going on. So he realises he's not going to be the manager.
Just to provide a bit of balance here, to try and look at it from the other side, if the people at Rangers think Derek McInnes is definitely the right man for the job, and have since the start of this process, should they really be distracted by two games? Should that be enough to change opinion?
Well, bearing in mind that those two games,
I mean, I know they're fresh in everyone's mind. Listen, don't get me wrong, I understand where it's coming
as
from.
I say, the only word I can come back to is awkward. It's awkward. Derek McInnes having lost two games to Rangers in the space of 5 days, having been outmaneuvered by Graham Murty. It's awkward. And you'd have to say so. But if Rangers don't appoint a manager by the time they play Ross County on Saturday, I will be staggered.
But you've got to look at the bigger picture. You know, he's had Aberdeen second places at the last three seasons. Aberdeen have been second, you know, and they've won a trophy. He's at one or two very good players, but the rest of them are journeymen, and he gets the best out of these journeymen. That's why they've finished second and they've got to finals of competitions and everything else. So, you know, he's doing a fantastic job with a club like Aberdeen. If he's given a few quid and he now sees what Rangers are like, he's had two games, maybe not as bad as he thinks they are. You know, they've just beaten his team, Aberdeen, twice. So I think if he's asked... And remember, they've got to ask him. That's why he's saying nothing just now. The easiest thing for Derek McInnes to say is, no, I don't want the Rangers job. You know, I've got to do something here at Aberdeen. That's it, finished. He hasn't said that. If Rangers go to him and say, do you want to be the manager? I think he would say yes.
Graham, do you want to come back in?
I just don't think he's worth 800,000. Him and his backroom staff and for... that kind of money, plus his wages, I think there must be somebody better than him.
I mean, I think, Jim, what you're saying is what a lot of Rangers fans are saying. I spoke to a lot of them, you know, yesterday and this morning, and they're of the same thoughts as yourself. You know, they liked the idea at first, but they've gone off it simply because of the last couple of results, and certainly the result that Motherwell went up there and beat them as well. You know, so there's a lot of Rangers fans thinking, well, maybe at one time they would have loved to get Derek McInnes in, but now I think there's a few they're saying, oh, well, I don't know if he's the right man. But who is? Who's left?
Well,
that's the big question.
We will hear from the man himself. We'll bring you Derek McInnes after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's hear from Derek McInnes. I did say before we heard your travel with Amber, we were going to hear from the man whose name has come up many times on this programme recently. He says he's less than impressed with 5 weeks of speculation linking him to the Rangers job. The Ibrox side could, going to stress that, could make their move for the Aberdeen boss this week as they look to replace Pedro Caixinha. But after the Dons lost yesterday's clash 2-1, McInnes was frustrated at the way things have been dragging on.
It was a few weeks ago and, you know, this has been ongoing. I think there comes a point where, you know, it's, you know, it just feels as though it's dragged on and dragged on. You know, I'm no happy with how things have been played out. You know, you boys have got a job to do, but you must be getting fed some sort of stuff. So it's been plenty of encouragement to run with stories. Ex-players seem to know a lot more than everybody else. Everybody seems to be in the know. You know, and every other day there's somebody who would give an opinion about my future and what Rangers are doing. So, you know, it's not been as straightforward as it should have been over the last few weeks. But, you know, today was all about the game. It was actually good to get the game out of the way and play the game and try and win the game. You know, the motivation was clear for everybody after the Wednesday night. And, you know, my job's to try and get a winning team on the pitch, not to constantly fend off questions that obviously you guys need to ask.
If the call does come this week, Hugh Keevans, how easily or otherwise will Derek McInnes be able to put his frustration to one side? Because there is no doubt he is frustrated. So if Rangers eventually do pick up the phone and contact is made, what does Derek McInnes say? Does he just pretend that he's not been annoyed with the way it's all dragged on? And
I can only assume that Derek goes to the heart of the matter. And I've always said football can be an affair of the heart. I think he wants to manage Rangers. I may be entirely wrong, but it's one man's perspective, and I can understand why he's frustrated, because there were reports this morning that Barry Ferguson is to be number three. Well, how do we know who number three is if we don't know who number two and number one are? So I really don't get what's going on. And I think, in fairness to Derek McInnes, there might come a stage this week when Rangers have to say, you know, everyone said, why doesn't Derek just say, I don't want the job? When, if ever, will the day come when Rangers say, listen, we never said we wanted Derek McInnes and we will not be approaching Aberdeen? I think, in fairness to Derek McInnes, Rangers should say something.
Yeah, I think something will happen this week, whether it's Derek McInnes or not. I think Rangers, it's got to a stage where fans, everybody, even the players themselves, you know, will be saying, look, we need somebody in here to sort this team out. Graham's done a fantastic job. Two great wins. The place will be in a high just now. The players will be loving training and everything else. God, it's two great wins and they're sitting second top of the league. But they need to get someone in charge here as well. And I think the club need that. I think something will definitely happen this week.
Andy is in Edinburgh. Hi, Andy.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. What's your point, Andy?
Well, usually I do agree with you guys a lot and I think you're quite fair. But I think this evening it's kind of changed my view a wee bit. I think we've been a wee bit harsh on McInnes this evening. I mean, there's been the constant reminder that, you know, he's just been skinned sort of 5-1 on aggregate, by Graham Murphy. But given the circumstances, I mean, the level of speculation, I don't think can be happening if Rangers aren't interested in McInnes, for one. And every interview he's had to try and deal with, as well as his players, they've been in probably the most uncertain period of their career together. That combined with the fact that Aberdeen have got a fraction of the budget of Rangers, I think it shouldn't be any surprise that the last two games have been an absolute nightmare for him. Personally, I think he's right for the job. I think he would be good for the club. And I think it would be a good step up for him, and everyone that seems to know him well says he's pretty ambitious. So I think you'd do well, but I do think it's a wee bit unfair to base him on two results, probably under the worst period that he's had as Aberdeen manager in terms of stress and speculation and getting compared to Rangers with the budget he's got.
That was the question I asked you, Hugh Keevans, just before the travel break was, you know, should anyone's opinion really be completely altered by two games and two games alone? Is there not a bigger picture here to be taken into account?
Of course there is. All I'm saying to you,
and by the way, that's not me saying that he's definitely the brilliant man for the job, but just either way, yeah, I'm wondering how much importance we should place on two games.
First of all, an answer to Andy. To say that Rangers won 5-1 against Aberdeen is simply a matter of public record, simply factually correct. But of course that should not define Derek McInnes as a manager. I'm simply using this word awkward. It's awkward when Rangers under 20s coach wins two matches in as emphatic a fashion as he did, and remember he won the second one with 10 men for most of the game. So it has to be mentioned, but the two games do not define Derek McInnes as a manager. I've said all along, for me he is the perfect fit, and for me Rangers will still go for him. But the longer this drawn out process is taking, it has now encompassed two games against Rangers, both lost.
Andy, you said you thought Derek McInnes was the man for the job. I assume you've thought that all along. Did the doubleheader recently have any bearing on your opinion whatsoever, or were you always able to just completely separate those two things?
Well, to be honest, I think from a fan's point of view, it's been really, really difficult to actually determine what kind of guy Rangers are going to want to go for, because there's been radio silence for most of this period since Kashinya left. So, you know, we've been linked with the likes of Sam Allardyce, you know, De Boer, probably guys that are way out of our league.
Neil McCann this morning.
Neil McCann. Well, there
he beat Rangers. You know, he beat Rangers and beat Ross County. Now he's second favourite.
Well, there you go. Exactly. You know, so I think because there hasn't been much coming out of the club, it's been difficult to actually imagine who would be right for the job. We don't know what the budget is. We don't know what calibre of manager they're going for. So, for me, I think McInnes is good, because I think Rangers' main aim has to be to make sure that they try and achieve a comfortable second for the next couple of seasons. Mm-hmm. I mean, the gap between Rangers and Celtic, you know, I'm sorry, but it's too big, you know, and in terms of finance, stability, you know, you name it, really. And whether someone like McInnes is going to be good for Rangers long term, you know, if they then are able to try and step up and compete a wee bit more, I don't know, but I think that they need to get their domestic game right first. And that's why I think he would be good for the job. Personally as well, I actually think Graham Murphy would be fantastic as maybe an assistant, whether he'd be interested in that, or whether if McInnes came in, he would be interested in taking him on or not. I don't know, but I think it would be worth thinking about, especially given the fact that, you know, he has a good record against Aberdeen. I know he had a poor couple of results against Hamilton and Dundee, but he's our only manager to get a result out of Celtic as well quite recently, you know, so managed to squeeze a draw out, which wasn't so bad for us.
You know, Graham Murphy has been great, and the reception he got from the Rangers fans yesterday and the way he responded to them spoke volumes about the rapport between fans and manager. But as I say, there are reports this morning that Barry Ferguson's going back to Ibrox as number three. Jonathan Johansson's already there. Tony Docherty is Derek McInnes' assistant at Aberdeen. Derek remains the favourite for the job in spite of all that's been said. And that's why, you know, Derek mentioned himself in his interview there when he said that you guys are getting fed stuff. Well, not doing anybody much good as far as I can see, because 6 weeks later we're all still in the dark.
Thank you. And remember 6, 7, 8 weeks ago, the one man that sat in a studio at Ibrox doing a game, Walter Smith, who knows a bit about managing Rangers, he was asked who should get the job. What did he say?
Derek McInnes. Was that previously, was it not? Was that not when the job was up last time?
No, this was for this one, you know?
No, I think it was when Mark Warburton left.
Yeah, I think it was the previous time.
He's the only man that he said
anyway,
could take the club forward.
Alan Moffat's on Twitter as well, at Clyde SSB. Lots of you getting in touch. He says, the amount of speculation has taken its toll on McInnes. He could have said he didn't want the job, given the constant speculation. It's been every day for the past 5 weeks. Yes, Alan, don't we know it? What else have we got coming in? BMAC is complaining that we're not talking about the Celtic game. BMAC gets a long show, BMAC, just don't you worry. Plenty coming up on the Celtic front. Brendan Rodgers, we're going to hear from him. We'll look back to the weekend.
We only have an hour and 24 minutes to go.
Exactly,
BMAC.
Plenty of time, chill out. Let's speak to Chris Logan, who's an Aberdeen fan, on the line. Hi Chris.
Hiya, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad, Chris.
Well, obviously most of this has been coming from the kind of the Rangers side of the debate, but on the Aberdeen fan side of the debate, I just want this resolved as well, one way or the other. I really hope Derek stays, because he's, well, I would say undoubtedly been the best manager we've had for probably the last 20 years or so. Won us our first trophy in nearly 20 years, taking us from a team that was perennial underachievers, struggling down the bottom of the league, sometimes fighting relegation, to been right up at the top end of the league. And I don't want him to go, but if he's going to go, it needs to be done as soon as possible, because the winter shutdown is coming, 4 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. We need to get time to get a new manager and assess the squad. The transfer window opens in January. He needs to figure out if he needs to bring in new players. And I think it's the Aberdeen side of the debate that people just seem to be forgetting about. If he does go, we've got a huge rebuilding job, and mm-hmm. we can't afford to take 5, 6 weeks to do it.
And that's why I say, you know, Derek gets hounded for not saying, I do not want the Rangers job. I think it's now time where Rangers, into the sixth week since Pedro Caixinha left, if Rangers want him, approach Aberdeen, approach Stuart Milne. If Rangers don't want Derek McInnes, be decent enough, for his sake, for his club's sake, and for supporters like yourself, to say, listen, we never at any stage said we wanted Derek McInnes. We've never said we wanted any manager in particular. And then state whether they are going to approach Aberdeen for Derek McInnes, or say he's not in the frame.
I suppose the counter argument to that, Hugh, would be that, you know, clubs can't always provide statements to respond to every piece of speculation. But do you think, is this just a unique case then? Is that,
well, you know,
is that what you mean?
It's been going on for nearly 6 weeks.
Okay.
On Thursday it'll be 6 weeks. I do appreciate the need for due diligence, but there's due diligence in not knowing what you're doing.
Chris, give us the Aberdeen fan perspective then. We don't obviously get too much of that on the show. Are you confident he's going to stay? Were you confident? How much has it changed over the last couple of weeks? Just give us a bit of an insight into what you're thinking.
I would have said probably a couple of weeks ago I was pretty confident he would stay, because if a team's interesting, you want to know you're their first choice. And there was such a delay, nobody seemed to be, well, certainly there was no official approach. There was lots of drip, drip, drip out of Ibrox saying they were interested in him. But now, I think he's going to go, and I think it needs to be done sooner or later, because you can see the effect it's not only had on him. He sounds really grouchy in press interviews, because all he's had for the last 6 weeks is, when we're playing, they ask about Rangers, even when we weren't playing them. So now I think the problem he's got is, if they do make an approach and he wants to speak to them, even if he turns them down, I don't see how he can come back. Because there's a huge section of Aberdeen fans would say, well, you went to speak to Rangers, you obviously wanted to go, we're not good enough for you. And I think a lot would turn on him. So if Rangers make an approach, I think he has to go, because I just don't see a way back for him. Sunderland was one thing, a big club down south, different league, ambitions to get into the English Premier League. But to go to a team that's basically on our level just now, there's no way back for him if he speaks to them.
Okay, thanks to Chris Logan, an Aberdeen fan from Wishaw. We are going to hear from Brendan Rodgers. It's Champions League week for Celtic. But before we do that, something very important I want to discuss with you. Wishing Christmas. With Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington, caring about children in Glasgow and the West. Clyde One. Now, regular listeners to the show will know that our Mission Christmas, Cash for Kids Mission Christmas, is well underway for this year. But the reason we talk about it every night is because it's very, very important indeed. So a massive thank you to anyone who's already donated. You can rest assured that your money can make a big difference to the kids who need it the most right here on our doorstep in Glasgow and the West this Christmas. If you want a fun way to get involved, a different way to get involved, then this Friday's the big day. It's our Christmas Jumper Day. Whether you work in an office, in a school, you're a taxi driver, whatever it may be, get the Christmas jumper on, have a bit of fun and try and raise some much needed funds for Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. You can also donate £5 by texting the word Clyde to 70808. That's Clyde to 70808, and your full donation, every single penny, will go towards helping the kids who need it most within Glasgow and the West. We're going to hear from Brendan Rodgers after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It's a big week for Celtic in the Champions League. It's going to be the last group stage game of this season's competition. But of course, Hugh Keevans, the aim is very simple. Avoid a 3-0 defeat. Well, win the game. That's the easiest way of doing it. But get through it unscathed, and it's European football after Christmas in the Europa League.
Right up front, I think Celtic can win the match. They won 3-0 in Brussels. I think they can get a win at Celtic Park. But it's a very intriguing game, Gordon, for this reason. When you play Bayern or PSG, off we go again with budgets and annual salaries and all the rest of it, and why it's an ill-divided world. Not against Anderlecht. When Celtic play Anderlecht, Celtic is a bigger club than Anderlecht will ever be. So it's about doing your job properly, not putting the fans through the agony of going behind and wondering if you're going to go out of Europe altogether. But for me, I think Celtic have the talent in abundance and will win the game.
Derek, news coming out of Celtic today is that Moussa Dembele is going to be fit to play the game. Now, yep, we know that he's been out for the last couple of weeks. Odson Edouard comes in and scores a hat-trick at the weekend, yep, while Lee Griffiths is on the bench. Who starts tomorrow in that position then?
I think Dembele starts if he's fit.
He comes straight back in.
Yeah, I think he does. He's the main man. But what I would say as well, if Celtic have got any sort of lead, if they're one or two up after an hour or whatever, then that's when you bring
Edouard
on. I think he did well on Saturday, and the manager's raving about it, and he's right. It's a hat trick. Somebody hasn't been involved all that much for the club. He's coming and showing what he can do. But if you've got a 2-0 lead or whatever over Anderlecht, you bring him in. Let's see what you can do against the European side, so-called better players than there are in Scotland. Let's see what you're made of.
Well, Brendan Rodgers is delighted to have Dembele back, but won't hesitate to give Edouard a game.
He's fit, so he's back in the squad. Trained and has trained well, so that's good. I think we gained another young player at the weekend. And Odson Edouard, it was an absolutely brilliant performance by him. And, you know, his arrival since he's come to here, you know, he's always shown he's a talent, but it's been difficult for him to get the games. But I just felt that putting him in, and I think we've really gained from that for the weekend, because his confidence is really high now and gives us another striking option. I've got three different types of strikers. Odson's a boy that's, you know, got a lot of talent. And, of course, he was adapting, coming to the country, coming to the climate, new football, new language. But he's settled in very well, worked very hard every single day. And I think his talent was to see there at the weekend. So, along with Lee's shown he's a fantastic goal scorer. And Moussa gives us great striking options.
Stephen Ray's on Twitter. He says, I think Celtic seeing off Anderlecht tomorrow is massively important for two reasons. One, it gives the club European football after Christmas and shows progression. And two, it can be the difference between strengthening the squad in key areas in January rather than the summer. David's a Celtic fan on the Isle of Jura. Don't get too many fans from the Isle of Jura phoning in. David, good to have you. How are you feeling about this game tomorrow? It's a unique set of circumstances where I'm sure Celtic will just want to win the game. That's very simple. But knowing that even a narrow defeat is enough to get the job done. How are you feeling about it?
Oh, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Derek.
I do. I'm
very excited for tomorrow night. And as you say, a narrow win will do, but I think it will be the other way. I think we'll absolutely cream Anderlecht. It's our whole season riding on this. The players know how important it is. And yeah, we're going to do it with a bit to spare.
The thing, Hugh Keevan says, football doesn't always follow logic.
In fact, it rarely does.
But if you go over to Anderlecht and win so comfortably, then you can certainly understand why fans like David are expecting another convincing win tomorrow. I know it's not as simple as that, but
no, of course,
you can see where the confidence comes from.
I could well understand that Brendan Rodgers would want the Celtic players to give fans like David in their tens of thousands a Champions League farewell to remember, because they've had to put up with the indignity of heavy defeats from Bayern Munich and from Paris Saint-Germain. So the performance in Brussels when Celtic won 3-0 against Anderlecht was outstanding. Brendan Rodgers will want to give them another performance of that calibre at Celtic Park. However, having said that Celtic are a bigger club than Anderlecht ever will be, they are not mugs at the game, and they will come knowing that they're unlikely to win 3-0 at Celtic Park, but they'll have a go. So I would expect two teams to have a go. It'll be first class football match, but I think Celtic simply have too much talent for
them. Well, it'll be silly for Anderlecht to sit back, because they have to win. You're just going to finish bottom with nothing. They're as well just rolling the sleeves up and coming to Celtic Park and having a go. And if they get the first goal, they'll get a huge lift. So it's up to Celtic, you know, to start the game well, because this is a free one for Anderlecht. Nobody expects them to do anything. Just go there and have a go.
Against a side like Anderlecht, with Dembele, Lee Griffiths and Eduard, because I would expect all three, one to be starting, two to be on the bench, with that level of talent at your disposal, as well as the James Forrest and the Callum McGregors and the Stuart Armstrongs and the Scott Sinclairs, you would think it's impossible for Celtic to go through the night without scoring at home.
David, any way that Odson Eduard starts the game for you, or is that just a stretch too far?
No, he won't start, but he should feature at some point. And I'd just like to hark back to something that Hugh touched upon. He said about us getting a gubbin off Paris Saint-Germain twice. We were beaten in Munich, yes. We were narrowly beaten at home by Bayern Munich. But what you'll note is that we played the same way against Paris, against Bayern Munich and against Motherwell. Every time we play the ball out for the back, and yes, if that costs us goals, so be it. But we learn and we keep going. We don't park the bus. It's a learning experience. It's progress. It's relentless. And that's what Rodgers is all about.
And all I'm saying is that against Anderlecht, it's not about budgets or annual salaries or who's got more money. Celtic is a bigger club than Anderlecht. So they're at home. They have a three-goal start, if you like. And with the talent they have, I would find it impossible for Celtic to go through the night without scoring.
See, I would disagree with David there. I thought Celtic parked the bus in Paris. And you had James Forrest playing at right back most of the second half, trying to get a hold of Neymar before he got to the full back. They were playing at five at the back at one
stage. Certainly gave it a go early on.
Oh, early on, of course. When you got the goal, they were fantastic.
2 seconds, David.
But I do think as the game went on, I thought they played a back five at one stage, a 5-4-1. So they didn't play the usual way that Celtic play, because they realised this was a really, really good side they were playing against.
Go on, David.
Derek, how many sides have scored against Paris this year in Europe?
No, but I'm not saying that for a minute. It was great. Celtic got a great start to the game, but as the game wore on, that just got Paris angry, and I thought they absolutely battered Celtic, and that's why they had to get back.
Of course they did, but when Craig Gordon had the ball, how many times did he launch it, and how many times did he find a fullback? That's playing the Celtic way.
Yeah, but I'm saying once Paris got the ball, Celtic had everybody back behind the ball.
Marines, I think this is nothing to do with Celtic, by the way, just a side note. Did I notice PSG lost?
Yes,
in the league at the weekend.
But anyway, as I say, they're gone. They're past tense. So is Bayern Munich. It's about Anderlecht. It's about qualification for the Europa League. It's about the knockout stages in February. And for Celtic to have three goals of a start, playing at home against a team they've already beaten 3-0 in Belgium, Celtic will win the match.
Lots of tweets coming in. Larson 39 says, hope someone has started taking the bubble wrap off Biggie Ozo for tomorrow night. And Mac and Allen says, Celtic will play with a swagger tomorrow. The team will have a point to prove on the big stage.
Beat the pundits with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Nice way to kick off the week would be to get a victory over Hugh Keevans or Derek Johnson on Beat the Pundit. If you fancy your chances, now is the time to go and pick up your phone. Dial 0141 951 1025 and you could play Beat the Pundit after the news.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.
Derek Johnson and Hugh Keevans are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are going to keep on the Celtic theme, talking about that big game in the Champions League tomorrow night when Anderlecht come to town. But before we do that, let's see who can get the week off to a winning start on Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with goals in the Scottish Sun. The SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Let's meet tonight's contestant then. He's from Greenock. I was in Greenock last night. Ian Smith, a lovely place, I'm sure you'll agree. Ian, how are you?
I'm good, Gordon. Where in Greenock were you last night?
Oh, I don't. I was various places, and I put it this way, without giving too much away, I ended up in the big Tesco. I know that's near Greenock. At about 1 a.m. this morning. Long story. We don't have long enough to cover that. But
I know where you are, mate.
I'll phone you next time when I'm stuck, Ian. Anyway, back to more important matters. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson standing by. I'm going to toss the coin.
Good evening, guys.
Hello, Ian.
Would you have a preference?
Hi, Derek.
Hi, Ian.
Doesn't matter, mate. I'll tell you now, the two of them are bloody stalwarts, and I think the two of them are undefeated.
Oh, I don't know about that. We'll toss the coin anyway and see how we get on. Heads, it's Hugh Keevans. Tails, it's Derek Johnson. Oh, and it is heads, Mr. Keevans. Oh. Let's give you some Clyde 2 in your ear. I wasn't too offended, Ian, but just mind your language there. Just a wee word that some people might not be too happy with, but it's okay. Let's go.
I didn't swear.
It's okay. No worries. Okay, let's go. Okay. Hugh Keevans has got some Clyde 2 in his ear, and I'll get the questions ready for you, Ian. It's 30 seconds head to head. You can pass, remember. This is okay. Your chance to beat the pundit, okay? Right, let's do it, Ian.
Okay.
Celtic and which other Premiership team are unbeaten away from home this season? Quick, just be quick, just guess them. How many points are Dundee United clear at the top of the Championship?
1.
Which Peterhead player has scored 20 goals in 20 matches so far this season?
Pass.
Which English Premier League team revealed plans to revamp the stadium?
Say that again?
Which English Premier League team revealed plans to revamp their stadium?
Liverpool.
And how many red cards has Ryan Jack received this season?
5.
I'll give you another one since you didn't hear me. A statue of who has been found chopped down from the ankles in Buenos Aires? Quick.
Diego Maradona.
Okay, let's bring Hugh Keevans back with us.
Yes, sir.
Enjoying some Clyde 2 there, were you? Looked as if you were
Billie
quite
Jean?
Content.
Billy Jean, Michael Jackson, yeah.
Happy days. Ready? Same questions to you.
Okay.
Let's do it. Celtic and which other Premiership team are unbeaten away from home this season? How many points clear are Dundee United at the top of the Championship?
1.
Which Peterhead player has scored 20 goals in 20 games so far this season? Which English Premier League teams revealed plans to revamp their
Crystal
stadium?
Crystal Palace.
Flying. How many red cards has Rangers' Ryan Jack received
4.
This season? A statue of who has been found chopped down from the ankles in Buenos Aires?
Maradona.
And which Scottish League One side have 7 consecutive wins in all competitions for the first time since 96? Quick.
Ear.
Okay. He sounded confident, Ian, didn't he?
He was good there. I think he's throwing the ball.
He's obviously been he's laid off the red wine this weekend, I think, and he's been studying because sometimes
he was fast through it.
Sometimes on a Monday he's missed the papers, but I'm telling you what, that was quite impressive, Hugh Keevans. Let's go right, through them. Celtic and which other Premiership team are unbeaten away from home this season? It is Hibs. How many points clear are Dundee United at the top of the Championship? 1. So you got one back there, Ian. It was 2-1 to Hugh at this stage. Which Peterhead player has scored 20 goals in 20 games so far? Rory McAllister. I heard you tutting, Ian. Did you? Perhaps just the pressure got to you. You knew that one, did you?
I just couldn't get it out.
He's the goal good machine. He's the goal machine, Rory McAllister. Yep. So 3-1 to Hugh Keevans. It went to 4-1 because it's Crystal Palace that's revealed plans to revamp the stadium. And it's Ryan Jack has got 4 red cards this season.
Five, Gordon.
including the friendly against Morton.
What a good shout. What a good shout.
Thanks, Derek.
I'll give it to Ian. A statue of Lionel Messi, apparently, has been found chopped down from the ankles in Buenos Aires. And which Scottish League One side has 7 consecutive wins in all competitions for the first time since 96? It is Ayr United. So, Ian, even if I was generous and I gave you the Ryan Jack question, Hugh Keevans has still pipped you, I'm afraid. Thanks for taking part.
Thanks very much, guys.
Well done.
Thanks, Ian. All the best, guys.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. I don't remember that. Red card and a friendly.
Oh, it was a behind-closed-doors game, yes. So we're...
Technically, he's correct.
Official red cards. Official red cards.
You never
it
said
four.
Official.
It is four. Okay, anyway, thanks for taking part. Well done to Hugh Keevans. That was a good start to the week for you. I'm impressed. Let's hear again from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? Because we already spoke about the dynamic of the game and the fact that Celtic only need to avoid a 3-0 defeat if that's such a way to get into a game. Brendan Rodgers, understandably, says he's not thinking about that side of things.
For us, it's 0-0. We want to win the game. You know, that's what we set out to do. But, of course, when you're playing against a good opponent, you always have to pay attention. So, but it's not something that we've overly thought. You know, we've been so busy with other games and lots of games. But of course, this game we have to be tactically ready and prepared. And like I said, look to put on a good performance. And we know if we can do that, then that can equate to a good result for ourselves.
No surprise there, Hugh. The fact that Celtic can still get through with a 2-0 defeat, that's not going to come anywhere near Brendan Rodgers' mind at this stage.
Not at all. He'll be thinking back to that night in Brussels, the wonderful pass from Olivier Ncham to Kieran Tierney, the ball squared across goal, Lee Griffiths coming in there and scoring. It set Celtic alight that night after a quiet first half hour. Scott Sinclair got a goal as well. They were rampant by the end of it, Celtic, and that, you know, if you are determined to live or die by your philosophy on how the game should be played, then there's only one way that Celtic will approach this match tomorrow night. And as I say, the Celtic supporters who create a unique atmosphere at Celtic Park on these nights, they will turn up wanting to have a grand finale to a section that has been difficult, problematic, because of Bayern Munich and PSG. But the grand finale, I think, will come in the shape of a Celtic win.
Let me ask Mark in Aberdeen for his opinion. Mark's a Celtic fan. Mark, I suppose if Europa League football is the next step, then it would help to go into that with a performance which instills a bit of confidence in the team that they can then take into the Europa League, if that's to be where Celtic end up.
Yeah, I still think that's a secondary consideration, though. Just getting there is the first thing, isn't it? Because that's the objective that they stated for themselves at the start. So, personally, I wouldn't be putting up the bunting if we could beat 2-0, but I'd be happy enough.
Just getting through at the at all costs is the bottom line for you?
I think so, aye. I mean, because that takes us on a stage from where we've been the last few times we've been in Europe, you know, so it's progress.
Yeah, I suppose you can't really argue with what Mark's saying, Hugh. That is a fact, you know, it is progress. But I just thought that maybe, given the position Celtic have gotten themselves in with the win in Belgium, it's just a chance for Brendan Rodgers to go and play this way that he talks about that didn't work against PSG because it was a stretch too far. These are games when Celtic can really try and test that style of play in Europe.
You want to go out to a fanfare of trumpets and not a rag and bone man's trumpet. So Celtic are capable of that. Having won 3-0 in Brussels, they have shown that they have the players who can beat Anderlecht and beat them comprehensively. And I just think that at the end of a section which has enthralled the Celtic supporters, which has at times disappointed the Celtic supporters because no Celtic supporter wants to see their team lose by a very big margin, I just think that this is the chance to go out on a high and to go into the Europa League and to look forward to a big draw in February.
And also there's two things. You're going to have an almost sellout there again.
Sure.
You know, so the Celtic fans, 50 odd thousand or how many is going to be there, they'll be looking, you know, for a good performance and a good win.
Yeah.
Plus the fact, for winning in the Champions League, you get something like £750,000 or something, or what, it might even be more than that. So, you know, so the likes of Peter Law will be saying, hey, let's not mess about here. £750,000, £750,000.
Anthony Neal's on Twitter. He says, I'll gladly take a 1-0 win, but like I always say, as long as there are no injuries for the game at the weekend against Hibs, so we can keep our unbeaten domestic run going. Sorry, Mark, did you have another point there?
Aye, it was about the Derek McInnes thing and how Stuart Milne will come out of this, particularly having put his, in a way, he's put his neck on the line last week by saying Derek isn't going anywhere, but he's a pretty shrewd guy, and I think that what might end up happening if McInnes goes is that Stuart Milne ends up with £1 million and another good manager, and for me that would be somebody like Jack Ross or even Stephen Robinson from Motherwell. So he could end up £1 million in the bank to give to players, which is probably more than McInnes will get when he goes to Rangers, and a manager who's, well, probably just as good as Derek McInnes.
Here's the other awkward thing about this whole situation. Stuart Milne went out on a limb and said Derek's happy here. He knows that he's loved here and he's not going anywhere. And a couple of days later, in a pre-match press conference, Derek was asked about what Stuart Milne had said. And Derek McInnes said, I endorse what the chairman has said. So here we are with the chairman saying he's not going anywhere, Derek saying I endorse that, and now we're still talking about him going to Rangers. So one way or another, this has got to be resolved this week. And I say, in fairness to Derek McInnes, if it goes on much longer, Rangers could perhaps say, listen, we never said we wanted Derek McInnes, or approach Stuart Milne and get Derek McInnes.
Mark, those comments that Stuart Milne made, though, would that not suggest that he is rather keen to keep Derek McInnes? And even,
actually, I know Stuart Milne a wee bit, and he's very, very fond of Derek McInnes, and has been right from the go-get, but, you know, anybody that fools himself into thinking there's anything like loyalty in football off their head. And by the same, you know, in fairness to Derek McInnes, if Stuart Milne felt that he could get somebody better in after, I mean, let's face it, he's gone 6 games, 1 win. If that carried on another couple of games, he'd have no qualms about bulleting him. So everybody's out for themselves in football.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Well, Mark, putting a slightly different slant on things here, it's not an argument we've heard too often that maybe actually the time is right for Stuart Milne, because not only will we get a financial package for Derek McInnes' services, but even notwithstanding that, it might be a good time to move on. I'm not sure Stuart Milne would necessarily agree with that wholeheartedly, but Mark's just laying the scenario out there.
If you were looking at Aberdeen in the harshest light possible, in the wake of 2 defeats from Rangers, Rangers have got the core of a decent team there, and it's got youth on its side in McCrory and Bates, and it's got talent on its side as well. If you look at Aberdeen, as the caller said, you know, the 1 win in the last 6 games, they're going to lose Kenny McLean because he said that this is his last season. He's out of Pittodrie. And they've arrived at a difficult juncture. And I think that Derek McInnes, in his heart of hearts, may think, I've done my best for this club and I've taken them as far as I can.
How much of that opinion that you just put forward has changed, though, on the back of the 2 games?
From Derek McInnes' perspective?
Because, you know, 2 weeks ago, everyone was saying that Aberdeen are best placed to finish second, and they're the one that's got the stable team, and they're the one that's got more stability and all the rest of it. But now you seem to have flipped that argument.
Well, at the very start of the season, when you asked us to give it your 1, 2, 3, 4, I said Celtic first, Rangers second, and got the predictable reaction. But I do think that at the moment, that looks good. Celtic first, Rangers second.
And what else? You know, Ryan Christie, probably their best player,
goes
won't
back
be there
to
next
Celtic.
Season. Yeah. He goes back as well, yeah.
Okay, thanks to Mark in Aberdeen for his thoughts. What about James in Bon Hill? Good evening, James.
Evening, how he's doing?
Not bad, thanks.
I'm just phoning up. It's just Ryan Jack never behaved the way he's behaving just now when he was with Aberdeen. And that, when he was playing on Sunday, that was fellow teammates of his up until a year ago. Yet, he wasn't caring, basically. He's going to end up costing somebody their career.
Well, just to be correct on the tackle, Stevie May wasn't, because their paths didn't quite cross, did they?
No.
Stevie May arrived in the summer and Ryan Jack left in the summer. But I take your general point.
To be fair, James, you are right,
because I noticed that it was, you know, Kenny McLean was the first player on the scene sort of arguing with Ryan Jack.
Yeah.
So I do get your point, James. I'm just in the interest of accuracy.
I think you're right in a sense, James. He's a different player playing for Rangers simply because the pressure's different from Aberdeen than it is on Rangers. You know, you lose two games at Rangers in a row and it's a crisis. You know, you don't get that at many other clubs, you know, obviously apart from Celtic. You know, and I think he's had to change his game. I think he's got a wee bit more physical. And I mean, I don't know if he was sent off at all when he was an Aberdeen player. He must have it at some stage. But to have four already this season, his game's changing. And I think he realises he's got to get in and about people, but he's just going about it the wrong way, I'm afraid.
I mean... on you go, James.
He's a decent player.
I thought he was outstanding until he got sent off. Yeah, he played really well.
I mean, Hugh, two have been rescinded. Four, obviously, the number four, that takes the headlines and it sounds really bad. Two have been rescinded, so it just depends what way you look at it.
He's taken it to excess, let's be honest, because he's equaled the European record and we're not at the halfway stage yet in the season. The European record being four red cards in a single season.
But that's what I mean. Do you still think of it as four when two have later been deemed to not be red card defences?
In fairness to Ryan Jack, then you're perfectly correct. Two were rescinded. But I do take Derek's point on board that when you move, and Aberdeen's a big club, but nobody's bigger than Celtic or Rangers. So when you get a chance to go there, he's determined to hit the ground running. He's just hit the ground running in a way that should prompt someone inside Ibrox, whoever that person may be, the next manager. Jonathan Johansson is on the premises, Graham Murty himself, simply to say, listen, you're a terrific player, everyone can see how good you were at Pittodrie, and then that happens. You know, you're a good player and Rangers wouldn't have brought you to Ibrox if they didn't think that.
I mean, to think that players and managers don't listen to radio, don't watch television, don't read newspapers is absolutely nonsense. You can't get in a dressing room in the morning for newspapers. Yeah. Everybody wants to read what's going on. And Ryan Jack's been reading it, and certainly if he's listening to this programme, I've said it as well, Rangers lack that wee bit of heart, wee bit of physical attributes, you know, no leadership. And I think people look at that and say, well, is that what they're looking for? You know, and whether that's got to him as well, saying, well, maybe it's about time I started trying to be a leader and getting there and winning balls, getting a few tackles. And I don't know is the answer, because I don't know the player. But for somebody that was a very good player at Aberdeen and you never really spoke about him at all, he just got on with his work, a good 7 out of 10 player all the time. He's had four reds, although two have been rescinded. It's a different player that Rangers have got than the one that played at Aberdeen.
Hugh, I've seen various people since that challenge yesterday saying, you know, that he won the ball and it was not Stevie May's fault, but Stevie May sort of pulled out and that's why Ryan Jack ended up catching him, and that it shouldn't have been a red card and it will be overturned and all the rest of it. So I assume from what you've been saying so far tonight, you're not buying any of that.
No, I think it was dangerous. I think it was disproportionate in terms of the force used. And I don't think he has a case. That's an opinion shared by many, but people take a view of these things based on who they support. And we'll leave it up to the arbiters, the final arbiters at the SFA. But from my personal point of view, I think it was a deserved red card. He had a difficult afternoon because the atmosphere for any Rangers player going to Pittodrie is difficult. But there's no excuse, and I thought that the tackle on Stevie May was tinged with malice as well.
I don't think there was malice in it at all, Hugh. I said to you, watch it again.
You still think it was a red, though, don't you?
Oh, it's a red. It's a red simply because he's got the ball. And that's what we'll say to supporters out there when you come onto this programme. He got the ball first. It doesn't matter these days. The laws have changed. If you go through and you're aggressive with your follow through and catch a fellow player, then you're going to get a red card. He's heads up. He's not even looking where his foot's going. He's won the tackle, followed through, and he's caught the player. I don't think it was any malice at all, but deserved the red card.
Full-time teaser is almost upon us, and there's quite an incredible game at Tynecastle at the weekend. A couple of bust-ups on the touchline, manager sent to the stand, assistant manager sent to the stand. We're going to hear from Craig Levine after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com, backing Scottish football all season long. Please gamble responsibly.
Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Lots of you tweeting the show as always. I like this one though, sent in by Chris Rafferty. It says, can you congratulate the three Albion Rovers fans who walked 56 miles from Coatbridge to Ayr before the game at the weekend, raising about £1,500 for a 6-year-old boy with autism, left midday on Friday arrived 8:30 on Saturday.
Well done,
decent
lads.
Effort for the guys.
Well done. Absolutely brilliant. Hats off to you. Well
absolutely
done.
What an effort that is. Well done to the guys. It's now time to get these two gentlemen a full time teaser, as we always do at this time of the night, 7:25, and I know lots of you like to play along at home, so listen carefully. Here it is. It was sent in by Martin Burns. Thank you to Martin. Which 8 players have scored 7 or more times in Old Firm games from the season 89-90 onwards? Sorry. So which 8 players have scored 7 or more times in Old Firm games from the season 89-90 onwards? 7 or more goals in the fixture.
Alan McCoist.
Yes, he scored 10 in that time.
Henrik Larsson.
15 in that time. Well done.
Mo Johnson.
No. There we are. First wrong answer. First wrong answer means I'm going to move on, and we'll get back to that. I'm sure you've got plenty of time to get another 6 answers in. Well done for getting the first 2. And if you want to play along at home, you can keep in touch at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Right, let's talk about this game at Tynecastle at the weekend, Hugh Keevans. It all started in mildly dramatic circumstances. Fraser Wishart told us that the game was going to be delayed by 15 minutes. So it was. It kicked off at 3:15 because the alarm wouldn't stop going off. Eventually it got underway. Things then start to build up. Hearts get a man sent off. Craig Levein gets sent to the stand.
Yep.
Austin McPhee is number 2. Also ends up in the stand because he's rolling around the floor.
Yep.
With Hamilton Accies Darren McKinnon. The game finished 1-1, and it was all a bit crazy.
Well, I'll give you the fuddy-duddy answer to this. First of all, Hearts director like of football, Craig Levein, I think his conduct was unbecoming a man of that position, and to sarcastically applaud the referee put the tin lid on it. So he was in the wrong. Austin McPhee, what is he doing? The ball has gone out of play. He lifts it. He hides it behind his back. That's not what he's there for. So for me, he's banging the wrong as well, and the referee was perfectly correct to send him up to join Craig Levein in the stand. I thought Darren McKinnon get out of the way as quickly as he could. I do not apportion any blame towards Darren McKinnon. And
could
I
he
thought,
not have just stayed back and not tried to grab the ball just
well,
to play devil's advocate?
You know, they're a goal down. They're trying to get on with the game. I mean, Austin McPhee is one of the thinkers in the game.
Yeah.
He stood in the studio beside us with his laptop, giving us all the bullet points for this, that and the other. It's not his business to lift the ball, hide it behind his back. The game, we're trying to get the game to flow. So for me, Craig Levein and Austin McPhee are guilty. Darren McKinnon is innocent. Martin Canning had to take him off right away in case he went from innocence to guilt. And for me, it all stems from the fact that Hearts are in a poor run of form. And well done to Hamilton Accies, who might have snatched all 3 points right at the end with a goal line clearance preventing them from doing so. So Hearts, I always applaud for turning a great stadium into a magnificent one with their new stand. But the team's not doing well, and the conduct at the weekend I thought was very poor.
Let's hear Craig Levein's version of events then, because he says the decision to send Austin McPhee to the stand and not punish Darren McKinnon was one of the worst he has ever seen. So we know that he was sent to the stand, Jamie Brandon was sent off as well, but it was the other incident that really irked Craig Levein.
If that's the case, it's on the field and one player rugby tackles another player, what happens? You know, both players then get penalised. My point is, even if Watson is holding the ball and he's rugby tackled by McKinnon, if that's on the field of play, then they both get booked. McKinnon's already been booked. So why is he not booked for what he did? It's just, for me, it's just black and white.
Hamilton then pulled him off immediately, do you think?
Well, they knew, didn't they? Yeah. They knew he was lucky to get away with it. It's one of the most bizarre decisions I have ever seen. Okay, even if Austin's holding the ball here, if McKinnon rugby tackles him and barges him to the ground, why does Austin get sent to the stand and there's no punishment for McKinnon? And he's already on a yellow card. It just doesn't make sense, eh?
Whether you agree or not, Derek, do you understand that side of the argument though? Because usually where Craig Levein is right, when players, if two players have a bit of a go at each other, they usually these days just get a booking each and get on with it. So Craig Levein saying if that had been the case, it would have been a second booking for McKinnon, because Austin McPhee got the equivalent of, in many ways, by being sent to the stand and no action taken against McKinnon. Though you're not having it. You're shaking your head at me.
No, I'm not having that, because you know Hamilton were desperate to get on with the game because they could smell blood in that game. They knew that their Hearts were on a downer. They're down to 10 men, and Hamilton had played very, very well. They're in one of these periods where everything was going for them, and when the ball went out, All Darren McKinnon when was to run out and get the ball because he wanted to take it quickly. And he was denied that by Austin. And he wasn't rugby tackled.
No.
He tried to get the ball and fell over. Austin McPhee fell over and dragged him on the top of him. So this is nothing to do with McKinnon. He's just there trying to get the ball. So I don't think there's a yellow card there at all. I think Bobby Madden didn't see an awful lot of it because when he came over, you see him looking at his assistant over there and he was explaining to him what happened and that's why he did what he did. But I'll tell you what, if they're watching that on the television last night or whenever, I think Craig will be in bother. He'll be sent to the stand for a couple of games. Both of them, I think, deserve to do that because you're right. It's unbecoming of somebody. Yeah. It's a director of football for Heart of Midlothian.
At the end of the day, the police had to intervene. Paul Gallagher, the Hearts goalkeeping coach, is being restrained by people as the police move in. That's a poor spectacle to be shown all around the country. And with the greatest respect to Hamilton Accies, that's Hearts playing Hamilton Accies. Can you imagine that with Celtic or Rangers there and all that's going on? Yeah. So Hearts need to have a look at themselves on the park and off.
Brian's in Hurlford. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, boys? You all right?
Yep. Not bad, thank you.
Good, good. I'm going to talk about yesterday's game. I thought Rangers, between the two games, I thought they've scored 5 goals. We won conceded, which is tremendous, considering it's the under-20s gaffer that's staying us through these two tricky games. But on the tackle, I don't think it's a red card. Now, the reason why, see if Stevie May is totally committed to the challenge. He went to get on his ankle. If he slides in, there's no problem. How can Ryan Jack stop put a tackle when he's won the ball? How can he put it out after it? He's not got breaks in his bits, is he?
Yeah.
So I don't think it deserved a red card. I think Wally Collum acted hastily. So I definitely think he'll win his appeal. 100%.
I mean, you make a good point, Brian, but I don't go along with it. I know exactly what you're saying. I mean, Ryan Jack's gone in very hard. The tackle itself, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it because he's gone for the ball. He's never even looked at the man. And you're right, his momentum has taken him through. But now the referees are saying, if you go in there with an aggressive manner, and even if you win the ball, you follow through and hit a player, then you're going to get a yellow or a red card.
What is the game cried? Football. Are you trying to do away with us tackling? Listen,
I've been saying this for many years. You're absolutely right. They want to take tackling out of football, but that is the rules.
This is a different example, though, is it?
Yeah.
This is not an occasion where it's a...
Good luck to Brian. Brian's obviously a committed Rangers supporter and he's trying to get his man off the hook here. But as I say, sometimes there are just open and shut cases. You look at Paul Pogba at the weekend with Hector Bellerin of Arsenal. And although Man United have the biggest game in Britain this weekend against Manchester City at Old Trafford, they have accepted there's no point in appealing because it would be worthless and they'll now lose Pogba for 3 games. I think Ryan Jack falls into the same open and shut case.
Brian, let me ask you started off by saying Stevie May pulled out the tackle, and I think that's a view I've seen shared by a lot of people. Just to try and understand that point though, is Stevie May not well within his rights to pull out of whatever tackle he wants to?
Well, don't tackle for the ball then, if that's the case.
It's the fact, it's the way that it ended that has given Willie Collum the decision rather than the fact of what Stevie May decided to do.
But see, up to that point, Ryan Jack was different class. Yeah. See, if he'd have stayed on the park, it would have been my man in the match because the grief he got, so what if he gets grief for the fans? That's part and parcel of it, man.
Yeah.
But the way he handled his cell was absolutely different class.
He was outstanding,
to what
you're right.
Before.
I can't disagree with that, Brian. You're absolutely right.
So, one ludicrous start. I still think he'll win his appeal, but see all this tippy tappy and, don't touch me and you ever rip my tights. Get tackling into the game, for God's sake. It's a man's game.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Brian. It's not a man's game anymore,
no,
I'm afraid.
Nah, but listen, what does that listen, mean? We have to draw a line.
Come on, but think about the language there. It's 2017, it's a man's game. What does that mean?
I know.
It's a man's game.
And also, in the same breath.
Since when?
In the same breath, Brian refers to it as a ludicrous tackle. So it's either a legitimate tackle or a ludicrous tackle, and it was a ludicrous tackle. And all this get tackling back in, we're trying to play a modern day game here. Every time we fail to qualify for a World Cup, there's wailing and gnashing of teeth, and we must get back to the grassroots. We must teach children properly. Brian wants it to be unarmed combat. Anyway, let me give you some other names here.
Okay. Oh, this is for the teaser, right? Okay, yes, we're looking for the eight players who've scored seven or more times in Old Firm games from the 89-90 season onwards.
Right, so we're giving you Ali McCoist, Henrik Larsson.
Yes.
Chris Sutton.
Yes, he has got seven, so it's seven or more.
John Hartson.
Yes, he's got
yes,
eight.
Yes, I've got that one.
Brian Laudrup.
No, he's got five.
Matt Genovo.
No.
Oh, right.
He's got six.
Shunsuke Nakamura.
No. Oh. Okay, we'll get back to that.
So that's one, two, three, four, five we've got.
We'll get back to that in just a moment or two. Derek, on a purely footballing sense then, if the last caller from Hurlford, that was easy for me to say, is so sure that Ryan Jack has been playing well recently and you agree,
yeah.
If, and at the moment we know it's just an if they can't get that overturned, then just in a purely footballing sense is going to be a big loss, is that what you're saying?
I think big time. You know, there's been a few Rangers fans that have not been happy, you know, the way he has been playing, but he's certainly getting a wee bit more physical, and that's counting with the number of sending offs that he's had. But I think he's starting to lead as well. I'm always on about leaders, and I think he's trying to do that with some of the challenges that he puts in. And he'll certainly be missed, because Rangers are now short of two or three midfielders. You know, and if he does get the red card stands and he misses three games, you just wonder who else is going to come into that midfield role and play the same way that he can. There's not too many there. Unless young Barjonas might get his chance as well. They're always on about the kids coming through. It might be his chance.
Again, Hugh, in the interest of balance, because you're still well within your rights to say you don't think it will be overturned, but is it worth bearing in mind that we've seen a number of decisions in the last couple of years that you maybe didn't think would be overturned,
yeah,
get overturned, and vice versa? So it's not always easy to call.
Listen, I respect the judicial system, whether it's in the civil courts or football's courts, and that Ryan Jack is entitled to appeal, and that Rangers want him to do so. Now, three other men will sit in judgment of this tackle. If three other men say, no, I think the referee acted in haste, then fine, you get on with it. But I don't see how it's possible to arrive at that verdict.
John is in Bathgate. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. First time caller.
What made you call tonight, John?
So the previous caller kind of stole my thunder, basically. But hi, Derek.
Hi, John.
My dad's hero, so yeah. How you doing, Hugh?
What about you? He's not your hero, no?
Jim Delhunt's my hero in this, but hopefully you'll get to that point one day.
We can but hope.
What it is, guys, just kind of echoing what he was saying, but when you see Ryan Jack tackle in slow motion, yes, it does look a bad one, but like we always get taught when we're younger, 50-50 challenges, don't hold back because you could get injured. So you go in full force, yes, it looked bad, but he didn't. It was unfortunate the way he landed on his ankle, but as you can see clearly, he was going for the ball. Wasn't any malicious.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right, John. But you know, there is another rule, and I keep saying it. Just because you get the ball first, doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get away with anything. It was the aggressive nature of it. When he won the ball, he won it fair and square. You're right. He went into it, and he was facing the player at the time. And you're right. I think the one thing that Brian's right with, when you're going in at that pace and you tackle the way he did, your momentum, your foot is going to go straight through the ball. And that's what happened. And he caught the player, and it was dangerous. And that's the reason. It's a rule that's just been put in the last couple of years. And it's a bad one. The player could have broken his leg. Stevie May could have broken his leg there easily. And it would have been an accident. Of course it would have. But you can't be putting in challenges like that. That's why the referee was only 5 yards away, got the best view of the lot of it, and straight away got his card out and sent him off.
John, let me read this to you. Not that this means that it is, you know, definitely a red card, but it's just something I want to get your thoughts on. I'm sure you perhaps saw Dermot Gallagher, Hugh Keevan's on Sky Sports News this morning.
They have
that feature where he's asked to review certain and again, listen, this is just his opinion. I'm not saying this is definitely right and we can't argue with it, but it gives you a bit of an insight into the way referees look at these things. So he says that it seriously endangered the safety of the opponent. No doubt whatsoever it's a red card. Just because you win the ball, it doesn't exonerate you from further punishment. What do you make of those comments, John?
Yeah, his comments are fair enough, but he's just seen it for the first time. He doesn't know what the Rangers and Aberdeen games are all about. You know?
Should that make a difference?
None at all. I'll say this to you, John. A very simple rule of thumb here. If that tackle had been Stevie May on Ryan Jack, you would have been on here screaming for Stevie May to be punished.
Would you agree or disagree with that one, John?
Well, I don't know, because that doesn't happen, you know. I probably would, yeah, but like I say, it looks worse in slow motion. He never slid in for it, yes. He went for his ankle in the end, but I just don't see it as malicious in any way. He just tried to get the ball, basically.
Okay, thanks to John in Bathgate. Good to have you on for the first time, John. Feel free to get in touch any time. 01419511025. If you want to get in touch, we'll get the answers to the full-time teaser after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Download the app and score a tap-in. Please gamble responsibly.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson are here with me, Gordon Duncan, and the guys are going about their full-time teaser. The question goes as follows: which eight players have scored seven or more times in Old Firm games from the season 89-90 onwards? So they've already given me the likes of Henrik Larsson, John Hartson, Chris Sutton and Ali McCoist. Have you got any more?
Yeah, there are a couple.
Mark Haitley.
Yes, he's got nine in the fixture during that period.
Kenny Miller.
Yes, he's got 11. So we're looking for seven or more players who've scored seven or more times between Celtic and Rangers.
So we're two short
in the last 28 years or so. You are two short. Yes, you are. Okay, we can come back to it. And remember,
it's about 5'8".
And remember, folks, we're always looking for your teasers. If you want to send them in to us, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. fulltime@clyde1.com. Maybe you've been sitting listening for quite a while and you think, you know what, I could come up with one of those, I could catch the guys out. Well, now is your chance. Email them in and we will try and get them on the show. Monday night, Hugh, we always try and look back on all the weekend's football if possible. Yeah. Of course, when the calls come in, we sometimes don't manage to get around it all. But let's quickly hear from Alan Archibald, Partick Thistle, bottom of the league, of course. Here were some of his thoughts after the game at the weekend.
We're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. It is a bit of luck when you're down there, it happens. We know that. That's football. But the thing you can't help with a lot, you've got to take your chances. The goal is a good second save to Chris Doolan. But overall, I thought our play was good, our general play was probably the best we've played in terms of moving the ball and getting into some good areas today.
The Hibs goalkeeper was in good form, Hugh Keevans. Yeah. The goal which Hibs scored was, you know, it's an own goal from Adam Barton, right, skiffed off the top of his head into the far corner. So you can at least understand, you may not agree, but you can at least understand why Alan Archibald is still seeing cause for optimism.
Well, for one very simple reason, Gordon, you've got 23 games left to get out of this mess. But he'll need to do so fairly quickly, because if you become isolated down
there's a
there,
big gap, isn't there?
Yeah, you know, you see Neil McCann begin to get results with Dundee, Kilmarnock get a win at the weekend. That's not much of a help.
I mean, they're
to
only 4
Thistle.
Points ahead of second bottom Ross County, yeah. So and the other, don't want that to get any further.
The other point, Derek, they've scored 12 goals all season long in the league. 12. You know, Chris Doolan and Chris Erskine are, you know, they're relied upon to pull Partick Thistle out of the mire every time, but at the moment it's not happening. I think the games that come in this month are crucial for Partick Thistle. Yeah.
And then on the flip side of that, you've got a Hibs team, as you will know if you listen to Beat the Pundit at 7 o'clock, that are unbeaten away from home in the league, which is just that's a great, yeah, start to the season.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Albeit outweighed at times by a couple of disappointing home performances, but yeah, that's certainly a good start to life, yeah, in the top flight, and Neil Lennon will be keen to keep that going as we tick towards this winter break and beyond.
What a game it is going to be at Easter Road, 12:30 on Sunday afternoon, when Celtic come calling. You know, so the Hibs got the 2-2 draw at Celtic Park, which again has contributed towards that unbeaten away record. They've got confidence on their side. They've got John McGinn coming back at the, yeah, weekend after suspension, so it's fine for Hibs. But the only thing I cling to where Alan Archibald and Partick Thistle are concerned, 23 games, an awful lot of water can flow under the bridge in 23 games.
And also, having been there before as well, it must not come as a, you know, shock to the system. There won't be any panic, because they've been there before, down the bottom, and they know that it can be turned around.
But they've come from a position of getting in the top six fairly early last season. I know they didn't win any once they were up there. They didn't win any, yeah, between then and the end of the season. So they've been up there. Now they're going to have to do it the opposite way, from the bottom getting up to the top.
John's in Clydebank. Hi, John.
How you doing, guys? Good evening.
regular caller, as you know. I think I'm getting soft in old age. What I would like to do is commend Willie Collum.
We don't get too much of that on the show, John, but listen, I'm happy with it.
Right. He said two big games, three big decisions in the two games, and they're all been done correctly. And we're good at lambasting my refs and getting them in grief, but in this time he's been absolutely correct on the Callum McGregor incident where he got the penalty at Motherwell. When I was at the game and I was right in front of you and I said it was a penalty straight away. The Josh Windass dive, which has not been really spoken about tonight on the show.
Right, we spoke about it at the top of the show, John.
Near
the start. Carry on, that's fine.
Right, and the sending off. It was, in Derek's day, that would have been a fair tackle, Derek, in your day. But and nowadays, you go in with your studs up, and it doesn't matter if the other guy pulls out on him, you go in with your studs up, it's a straight red card. The referee last week in the final, Celtic Motherwell, he actually missed it on the belly. And the big centre-half who got sent off with the Sinclair incident, I believe the ref may have seen that he made a mistake, and the first chance he got sent him off. And it's silly refereeing, but back to Colin again, where he was absolutely excellent in two games.
Well, the beauty of calls like this, Hugh, is that some people out there will think that Willie Collum got all of those decisions wrong and that he should be in for a lot of criticism. Yeah. So, but, you know, that is the world we live in.
I would stake my house on John being a Celtic supporter. But his basic point about Willie Collum is a fair one, because no one gets more stick than Willie Collum. And in those two games, Motherwell Celtic at Fir Park and the game at Pittodrie yesterday, he did get it right. He got the penalty right. It was a daft tackle made on Callum McGregor while he was going away from goal. Windass, it was a blatant dive. And for me, he's got it bang on with regard to Ryan Jack on Stevie May as well. So
you get two or three. The McGregor one was never a penalty in a million years. Never a penalty in a million years.
A bit of balance in the studio. Can't argue too much with that.
That's fine. Programme of opinions.
John, you want to come back in?
Derek, I'll come in to you, Derek.
Yes.
I was at the game, right? And as you know, you're right up close where the Celtic fans were. It was right there, and I was right in line there.
Behind the goal.
Right. No, this is the thing. See, there's a foul in the penalty box, Derek. Mm-hmm. It's a penalty, right? It's a penalty.
Not everything's a penalty. No, you're wrong. You're wrong in saying that. Not every tackle in the box is a penalty.
Let me say the foul. Right. If there's a foul in the box.
It's a foul.
He's right, yep.
Right, I never said a penalty, Derek. Yep. I said it's a foul.
But it wasn't a foul.
Right, the referee deemed it a foul and a penalty. Right? So, the referee was correcting the rules. End of story.
No, but it wasn't a foul. McGregor made the meal. He was the one that fell over the leg and got the penalty. So, it wasn't a penalty kick.
Anyway, I'm... As much as I love a lively let me be perfectly honest, John. As much as I love a lively debate, I'm surprised we're still debating this decision.
Well,
I thought we were over those, the Scott Sinclair one, the Callum McGregor one, and fair enough. I know this is rumbles on, Hugh Keevans. This is the world we live in. It's great at times, but let's not go over old ground too much.
Read the paper. It was 1-1. Motherwell get a draw. So we could argue all day, it's getting us nowhere. The game has been played, the award has been given, the points are in the board for Celtic and Motherwell at Fir Park. So we've got other things to do.
John, let me just finish by getting your thoughts on tomorrow night's game as a Celtic fan.
We should go, as you said earlier, try and get with a bang, put on a good display for the supporters. 1-0, 2-0 would do us. It's been a very disappointing, obviously, in Paris and at home against PSG. The home game against Bayern Munich was it was all right, and it was great over in Belgium. So I'm confident we'll get a win, 1 or 2-0, and we'll look forward to Europa Cup. I think we've got to take a few beatings in the Champions League to try and accumulate a bit of wealth to spend to better our team to have another go next season. That's what it's all about, a learning curve.
Okay, thanks to John, the Celtic fan in Clydebank, for that call, Hugh Keevans. It's going to be a fascinating game, whatever way you look at it, because within the opening couple of minutes, we'll get a real sense of if Anderlecht are going to throw absolutely everything at it to try and pull off the unthinkable.
As Derek said, they have to. What's the point in being any other way? They're three goals down. They need to score three times and not concede at Celtic Park.
Right, you're still looking for two more on the full-time teaser. Eight players who've scored seven or more times in Old Firm games from the 89-90 season onwards. One is Rangers, one is Celtic.
Barry Ferguson?
No. But they were both They were both, how would I say, scorer of
scorer
of similar-ish goals. And I don't want anyone taking offence and saying, oh, one was better than the other. I'm just talking about, they both liked a sort of long-range, powerful strike at goal. One for each team.
George Alberts.
Yes.
Oh, Alberts.
George Alberts is the Rangers one you're looking for.
Petrov,
so,
no.
So who would be the Celtic one that you're still missing then?
Who's a man? Who's a man?
And as you can imagine, given the statistics that I'm reading you seven or more times during his period, just a man who became quite synonymous with goals in this fixture, because it wasn't a prolific goal scorer. He's not even a striker, but he managed to get seven goals in this fixture.
Midfielder with a good shot.
Powerful left foot on him in the Martin O'Neill era.
Oh, went to Newcastle. He was assistant.
Well, he's from that part of the world. Yep, he was in the coaching staff
Alan
as well.
Alan Thompson.
Right. I had to give you a couple of wee clues, but that was not a bad effort.
Good question.
Thanks to Martin Burns for sending that one in. Remember, fulltime at Clyde1.com if you want to send your teasers in. A very busy show tonight, guys, so thanks to everyone who joined us on the phone lines and on Twitter as well. And a big thank you to Hugh Keevans and Derek Johnson, as always, for their company and expert. Is that all right?
Never a penny.
Expert.
Never
insight.
A penny.
Okay. We're back tomorrow night. Big night for Celtic in the Champions League. 6 o'clock. Clyde One Super Scoreboard is on as always. Roger Hanna is going to be here, as is Gordon DL.
Super Scoreboard with Ladbrokes.com. Bet and play and pull a result out of the bag. Please gamble responsibly.